Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join via the Goodyear hotline, and you can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line or Twitter feed at Key, J, and Max, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. What's up, Key?
I said it looked like a great shot of the East River. Is that Jay's boat coming to pick him up before they go on the big boat?
Yeah, I got my boating pants on today. It's a nice day to be on the water today. Beautiful weather.
East River, only the East River is a quick little quarter mile to Brooklyn.
Yeah. How many times have you jet skied in that Max Keller?
Oh, I'm not jet skiing in any. I know. Like, well, they've cleaned it up. I'm not jet skiing in the East River, the Hudson River. No river.
You passed the test.
Yeah, no. I grew up in New York. I'm not jet skiing in any river in New York City. NFL Week 1 is here, guys.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just noticed, Keith, does your shirt say Waffle House on it?
Yeah.
Weren't you killing me the other day when I was like, how much I loved the Waffle House when I was in North Carolina at school?
I don't think so, did I? this is a retro t-shirt. I didn't get it from the actual restaurant. You can buy t-shirts at the retro place, and so it's just a T-shirt, Waffle House, and,
Oh, no, Key, that's some double talk right there. Jay just said, weren't you giving him problems about saying he likes the Waffle House?
No.
You got a Waffle House shirt on, then turn around and be like, no, I didn't get it at the restaurant. I just bought it somewhere else.
Just a retro purchase.
Well, it is, though.
Get out of here. You know I love the Waffle House.
I like the T-shirt.
No, it is. The Waffle House is good when you get a chicken breast and a waffle, and that's it. I can't get anything else from there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Staying in shape.
And it has to be 4 a.m. in the morning coming
exactly.
from the club.
Yeah, exactly. You know what time it is.
All right. Week 1 in the NFL is here. Tony Gonzalez said on Good Morning Football that the Titans' offense is probably unstoppable. How good can Tennessee be this season? They pick up Julio Jones. We were arguing about wideouts earlier. I think the best tandem, 1-2, could be Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. But what's the ceiling for the Titans' offense, Key?
I think that the ceiling is right where it's at already. They're not going to change their style and their approach at all. And I know what Tony's saying. You add a guy like Julio Jones to the mix, you're getting a bona fide playmaker who can do some things in a passing game. Now, Corey Davis was there a year ago, and Corey Davis basically, let's round the numbers up, he was a 1,000-yard receiver. A.J. Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver. Julio Jones is not all of a sudden becoming an 1,800-yard receiver because they're not going to take the ball away from Derrick Henry on the offensive side. That offense goes because of Derrick Henry. Can Tannehill lead them to a Super Bowl with this offensive roster? Absolutely, 199.9%. But there's a big but there. And the but is the defensive side of the ball. That's the Tennessee Titans' problem is the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they can't stop a nosebleed.
They can't stop a nosebleed at all. It can't catch a cold in Alaska on a rainy day. That is the God honest truth. Offensively, they got some playmakers and some pieces, no question about it. But they're not going to air it out 55 times a game to take advantage of Julio Jones. It's just they're not going to do it.
So, Jay, I hear what Key is saying. There's a difference between a dude putting up numbers or using him a certain way and the threat he presents and just his level of excellence that he just brings to the field on every play that can make the team better, right? Julio Jones doesn't have to put up amazing numbers. If he's still Julio Jones, it's going to make you better. Is the defense good enough for them to challenge this season? Key ain't lying. They cannot stop a nosebleed on defense. But the offense, they got a whole lot right now.
I would probably have them fifth or sixth in the AFC. Do you guys think that's reasonable?
I might have them a little lower.
I mean, KC, Bills, Browns.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Both sides of the ball.
Both sides of the ball. Defense.
Yeah, you still got
Colts,
Baltimore.
The Colts. So many sixes.
I don't love the Colts.
Don't count out
don't
Pittsburgh.
Count Pittsburgh.
Don't forget about New England.
New England. Miami. If Tua takes a step forward, Miami.
Yeah, I just I sometimes think that I know Key says that hey they're not going to change their offense, but if you are talking about their offense, I mean Ryan Tannehill did throw for 4,000 yards last year.
Here's another, by the way. I'll give you another team. The Chargers.
I know, just seventh most in the league, and I understand they're still going to play through Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they're just not their thought process in what they've done in the past. And typically when teams do something and have the success at doing that, they don't all of a sudden go the total opposite way.
They don't have to, though, to get, like, if you have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, you could still run the ball and play through Derrick Henry, but now you are better because you're more threatening in the passing game, in the vertical passing game. They should be, like, the offense. Okay, forget about the defense for a second. Where does the offense rank?
Their offense, probably in the, I would say, in the teens somewhere, probably like, I would say maybe like 8 to 10.
But if that's the case, Key, isn't that – I think Tannehill's a
but
good
you
quarterback.
Can win. Like I said to you, you can win the Super Bowl with Tannehill.
I get it. But
Tony Gonzalez said unstoppable. You know, I'm like
– No, what I'm saying is if you have that offense and you swapped out Tannehill with even a guy like Josh Allen, would you then think they have an elite offense? In other words, is this commentary on Tannehill's ability to put him 8th or 10th with everything they have on offense?
It's not even necessarily about Tannehill. It's more about what Vrabel and the former offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith, who, by the way, is no longer there. So there's a change there. He's in Atlanta as the head coach. So it's more about that than it is about Tannehill having the ability to do anything. Tannehill has the ability. It's all about the system. If I took Tannehill and put him in Brian Daboll's offense at Buffalo, what all of a sudden Tannehill might look different. Okay. Tannehill was in Miami with Adam Gase. He couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie.
Well, that's so your best. By the way, that's your best argument for our previous
argument. Well, it's not
argument.
An argument. It's not an argument.
It's like
it's not an argument.
All that you can't avoid an argument. Sometimes, it's a conversation. Sometimes it's an argument. You don't have to go looking for one. But if it's there, we can't duck it.
Just
look,
call
but,
it civil discourse.
But when you look at it, that's Tannehill, what it is.
Tannehill is a good quarterback, and Key's right. Obviously, like he was a bust until he was in a good situation, and it turns out he's good. There's another guy with a lot of promise right now whose team is being picked by most to finish 4th because the division's so good, and that's Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Uh-oh.
Who has he has a lot of upside, right? Who Uh-oh. Has more to prove between Tannehill and Kyler Murray?
I think it's me personally, Kyler I think Murray. It's Kyler Murray. And the only reason why it's Kyler Murray is because there's so much riding on getting the Cardinals over the hump and into the playoffs. Ryan Tannehill's already done that twice for the Tennessee Titans. So when you look at it, that's, you know, it's like, okay, what pressure's on me? I've done my job. Not so much for Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. Kyler Murray individually has flashes and have shown you, okay, this within this system and what he's doing, okay, he's cool. But he's yet to get them over there. Plus, he's playing for the money. Right? He's got they got a fish year option. They got long-term extensions coming. He's doing all of those things.
I would say I would agree with Kyler Murray just because of if Cliff Kingsbury is not the head coach of that organization, Kyler Murray isn't going that high in the draft. Right? Is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. Is he going that high?
Yeah, I maybe. Don't I'm probably with you on that, Jay. I don't know that he becomes the number one overall pick for any other organization and head coach other than Cliff Kingsbury, but I think he gets a chance to play in the NFL, and he probably goes lower in the first round.
I mean, Baker went one the year before. In other words, but like what, that kind of quarterback, and Kyler Murray in certain ways is better than Baker.
But what I would say, Max, if it wasn't the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield wouldn't have gone number one overall, and I know that matter of fact.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, all in that draft class.
Some people within the organization at the time didn't want John Dorsey to select Baker Mayfield, but it was Dorsey's pick.
It was a weird draft that year in terms of like guys like Baker who don't check every box don't normally go ahead of a guy like Darnold who does. And then Saquon went second, and usually a running back doesn't go second. That was a funky kind of draft. I think it is unanimous on Kyler Murray having more to prove than Tannehill. But for me, it's comes down to availability. Key, this is something you talked about yesterday. Like, if he's the size he is and plays the way he does, you know, what happened last year to Arizona. He got the shoulder injury. They stopped running him. And then he couldn't throw it the same way, right? But if does stay healthy, Key, I love Kyler's upside.
Yeah. Yeah, within that system, right? Because his talent is good. But all people that coach this game don't like his size. I was told once by a Hall of Fame coach, man. Dude told me, it's nothing wrong with having smaller players. I just can't have too many of them. Because if I have too many of them, guess what?
You don't have a team.
I'm going to get fired.
Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road, on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. ESPN football analyst Harry Douglas joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Harry, we're just chopping it up about who has more to prove, Tannehill or Kyler Murray. Who has more to prove, Harry?
I'll say I'm going to have to go with Kyler Murray. I'm going to have to go with Kyler Murray because, I mean, both of these guys at the quarterback position, they both have weapons, but Ryan Tannehill has been to an AFC championship game. Ryan Tannehill has went to the playoffs last year. Now, I know that was on the shoulders of Derrick Henry those 2 years, but you look at his numbers, and he didn't turn the football over. He was efficient. Coming into this year for Ryan, I just want to see him do it with his arm more. And the addition of Julio Jones can allow that to occur because teams not going to be able to stack the box with Derrick Henry and leave A.J. Brown and Julio Jones one-on-one. When it comes to Kyler Murray, he has an arsenal as well. When you talk about the offensive line, you talk about the two deep at the running back position. They're four deep at the wide receiver position. Tight end, probably not so much. But I think the Arizona Cardinals have to prove a lot and make it to the playoffs this year, so I'm going to go with Kyler Murray.
Harry, when you talk about the Titans, everybody says, oh, well, you know, they had Corey Davis, and he was able to perform at a high level last year, and now they bring in Julio Jones. Can you describe to us, how is it different? How is Julio Jones different for Ryan Tannehill in this offense than what Corey Davis was?
Well, I say this a lot to a lot of people. When it comes to Julio Jones, it's very luxurious when you have a guy that who's double coverage and you can throw it to him no matter what, and he's probably going to catch the football. You don't have many luxury with guys like that in the NFL across the board, period. But with Julio Jones, man, he runs routes like he's a small guy. He gets in and out of breaks like a small guy. He's fast. He's explosive. Right, he makes the contested catches. He's physical. He brings that physical nature to the game. So with Ryan, it's a lot of times where he can get in trouble, and he can take his turn, take his time, and take his turn and throw it up to A.J. Brown, just throw it up to Julio Jones. So now you have two guys in that receiver core who are physical, who are dominant, who's going to beat one-on-one coverage. So now you can take more chances as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting listening to you talk about Julio Jones because this is like a little kind of, I don't know, pet issue for me, the way we perceive wideouts in the NFL, where it changes every couple years. Like, who are the top three? You go back a couple years, it was in whatever order, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham Jr., right? No one mentions those guys as the top three wideouts anymore. And Julio Jones lost an offensive coordinator, and that hurt the offense. And Antonio Brown hadn't really been on the field, and Odell got hurt. But are we sure that those guys aren't still there? Like, is when you look at Julio Jones, Harry, yeah. Do you see a guy who is physically different than he was a couple years ago when he was considered the guy you wanted at wideout?
Well, all I can tell you is this right now. I know he's hungry and he's waiting to play this year. And he's going to show everybody why he's the best receiver in the game. Even I heard Marcus Spears say yesterday, Julio Jones, man, when that man is healthy, that man is the best receiver in the game, hands down. You seen Stephon Diggs say it on top 100. Like, it's hands down. It's no even no competition when it comes to it. Because you look at last year, he didn't even play that much last year and still had over 700 yards. Think about that now. I try to get a lot of people to the man hardly played last year and still had over 700 yards receiving. Think about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, full disclosure, this is your former teammate we're talking about.
but Max, even though it's my former teammate, who can the last 5 or 6 years, who was the best receiver in the game, Max?
Yeah, Key, like I'm listening, it is his former teammate, okay, just like when I listen to Key talk about USC guys.
No, but the Max, Harry is correct.
I agree.
Right. Julio Jones is ridiculous when he's healthy. There's no question about it. The only problem that I have with it is based on being in the NFL, much like Harry, and knowing that people don't change their identity. And that's the only problem. Yes, he'll be able to garner double coverage in mismatches and things of that nature, but there's always a but in here because Vrabel he doesn't want to throw the ball 60 times a game. So are we taking full advantage of Julio Jones, or are we just going to fit him in hope that he gets the double coverage to open up things for Derrick Henry to continue to gash the defenses?
Yeah, but guys, well, Harry, go ahead.
Let me say this really quick. Well, Key, I think that's going to be more so on Todd Downing, right? The new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a challenge for him coming in. Okay, we got a Julio Jones. We got an A.J. Brown. We still have a Derrick Henry. His job is to figure out, how do I make all of this work? How do I make this thing flow? Because you can't forget that Derrick Henry led the lead in rushing the last 2 years. A.J. Brown had 1,000 yards last year. But I truly feel like Julio's the type of guy. Julio can have three catches for 100-plus yards. A.J. Brown the same way. He can have three or four catches for 100 yards. So, and Julio's not the type of receiver who's going to be like, man, I got to get the ball. You got to throw it to me 10, 12 times a game. He's not like that. I played with him. I know his mindset. He just wants to be efficient, and he wants to put his team in positions to win.
What do you think about Dak Prescott starting tomorrow night, being off a year with that ankle injury and a little bit of shoulder soreness, playing against his vaunted Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense?
Well, Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy better have a damn good plan. I'm going to tell you that. That's the first thing I'm going to tell you. Because that Tampa Bay defense, they ready, man. They riding a high for winning the Super Bowl ring last year. So you have to be careful in the way you do things. And do I feel like Dak can go into this game and throw this football 50 times? No, can't do that. And I know Tampa was one of the – I think they were the best rushing defense last year in the NFL. But at the same time, you have to believe in yourself as an offense if you're the Cowboys. Okay, forget all the stats and stuff. At the end of the day, is can you win your one-on-one matchups? Can you win the line of scrimmage? Right? My offensive line versus their defensive line. Right? My tight ends and H-back, fullback, whatever you want to call it, versus their linebackers. Right? Because at the end of the day, Key, and you know this, at the end of the day, it's can we win our one-on-one matchups? Because if you can't win your one-on-one matchups, you can go ahead and count it out. You're not going to be productive in this league.
Harry, as we enter the first weekend of the NFL, what's the biggest, most interesting storyline to you?
I think for me, I think it's how many dynamic matchups we have in week one. Outside of the T.J. Watt deal, and I don't understand what the Steelers have got going on, because T.J. Watt has only been great when it comes to rushing the quarterback, getting sacks in his pass rush grade. But outside of that, I think all the premier matchups that we have in the league to start week one. I don't remember a time, not recently, where week one was so exciting because of the matchups you have with teams.
Harry, I don't remember a time, talking to Harry Douglas here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, I don't remember a time when I thought that five first-round quarterbacks all had a chance, a good chance, to be long-time successful starters in the league. But that's what I see with these five guys. Who do you think short-term has the best chance to succeed, and who would you put your money on long-term as the best of this group?
Well, I say short-term, it has to be Mac Jones, and I say that because of Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, and what they surrounded him around, right, especially in free agency. You have Hightower coming back defensively, what they're going to be on the defensive end. And then secondly, I would go with Trey Lance because of Kyle Shanahan and his thought process as a play caller and their defense and everybody they have coming back. But I'm high on Zach Wilson. I'm high on Zach Wilson. I love the intangibles he has. I love his bravado. I don't think the New York market, New York media is going to be too much for him. And he just has that it factor, man. He just has it. And I tell people all the time, and I love my quarterbacks I played for. I love Matt Ryan. That's my guy. I love Marcus Mariota. That was my guy. But if I had to pick one guy that I could have played with, if I could choose who I wanted to play with just for 1 year, I would have picked Aaron Rodgers. And right now, Zach Wilson reminds me so much of Aaron Rodgers.
Harry Douglas, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, thanks a lot for jumping on with us, ESPN football analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks, Harry. Key, I'm going to ask.
Zach Wilson is Aaron Rodgers, then Sam Darnold must be Case Keenum.
I want to ask you the same question of these five first-rounders, first-round quarterbacks, Key. Who in the short run will be most successful? Who in the long run? I mean, obviously, we don't know. It's a guess, but who would you put your money on?
I'm going to put my money on – jeez. Okay, so let me scratch that and let me rephrase it, the question for you to me.
Mm-hmm.
Who will have more wins short-term versus long-term? Let's do it that way because I don't know when Trey Lance is going to take over or I don't know when Justin Fields is going to take over, but I do know Mac Jones is sitting in the seat right now, and he has a team that is built around him to make a strong playoff run in New England. In New England, he can win a whole lot of games just managing the situation until he grows into a potential Tom Brady year 9 type guy.
What about long-term, Jay? Who do you think long-term?
It's going to be hard for me when Trey Lance actually gets the ball in that Kyle Shanahan offense, if they're able to maintain their defense with the way they play, that he has a chance to be really special.
You know, it's crazy too, guys, because when you think about if you expand it a little bit and look at the second-year quarterbacks, Joe Burrow's in a terrible situation, mm-hmm. but he's such a stud. And you look at what Justin Herbert did as a rookie. There's a good chance he's a top five quarterback by the end of this year. People have said as high as like a top three quarterback, right? He's differently talented. And then, you can't count out Tua or Jalen Hurts. There's so much young quarterback talent.
Max, why is he all of a sudden top three, top five, and he's Herbert? A different talent? Yeah, why is that?
I'll tell you
why is that the case? Because he wasn't that 2 years ago. Nobody, it was like, ah.
Well, but 3 years ago he was. 3 years ago it was tank for Herbert, right?
It's and so then crazy. It was.
But let's put it this way, Key. I'll say this. There are two dudes to me who are differently talented. There's Mahomes and Rodgers in their own little category. Mm-hmm. And then you could talk about the best of everyone else. I know Brady's also there, but we're talking about physical gifts, right? I don't see Josh Allen quite in that group. I don't see a Lamar Jackson quite in that group. When I look around and I see who could potentially be, he wouldn't be first or second, he'd be third, but I could put in that separate category based on what Herbert just did as a rookie, Key. His,
it's
like,
such a small sample.
It's
a full season, but it's one season.
Max, when you say you don't put Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson in which category?
Mahomes, Rodgers, like talent category. Justin Herbert was making throws consistently for a bad team, a losing team, a coach that no longer has his job, a guy who wasn't even supposed to start who had to take the ball last minute. Like, you couldn't do much better. He's on a short list of greatest rookie seasons ever.
But Lamar Jackson is a different type of talent.
That's true. Lamar almost has to be put in his own category.
It's a different talent. If I told you that Tom Brady, not even – yeah, Tom Brady. We'll just use Tom Brady, for example. Mm-hmm. If I told you that Tom Brady threw for 40 touchdowns, you would say, wow, we really like that, right? But in that number, whatever that number is mathematically, and I told you that Lamar Jackson accounted for 40 touchdowns, 20 on the ground, 20 in the air, that's the same number.
It is, but there are attendant issues, like if you fall behind, can he beat you from the pocket, all that. So I agree with you. Lamar is unique. Lamar is kind
He's
of
different.
In his own
He's
separate category.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about throwing the football, like overall ability at quarterback.
Josh Allen is getting there.
He can repeat what he just did.
Same with Justin Herbert, if he can repeat what he just did.
Okay, let me ask you both this.
Most of the time, when quarterbacks like Justin, just check the math. When quarterbacks like Justin Herbert start off at the level that he finished at, no, they continue to stay that way. They don't drop off.
Well,
they get better.
Well, okay,
they
look. This is what I want to ask. I don't know about your fancy analytics and your numbers, Keyshawn. I'm just doing it by the eyeball test.
Wait, though, that's why guys like Dan Marino and Troy Aikman and those guys, Steve Young, stayed around for so long in their careers. When they start off a certain way, they don't fall off a cliff.
Coming up, I need to ask these two former athletes about the athlete eyeball test on Justin Herbert. I don't want to know about Keyshawn's fancy calculations. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's continue this, guys, after Columbia, Jay has this from DraftKings.
Columbia.
Now is the time to celebrate. The NFL is finally back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. Partner of the NFL has millions of reasons why you should be excited. Did you hear that? Millions! To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at $1 million top prize with a total of $4 million up for grabs for Thursday's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single-game showdown is easy. Listen up. Draft six players from the season opener. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at a $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KJM. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. If you didn't hear me before, enter code KJM to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code KJM. Keyshawn, J. Max. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Wednesday will be one day away from the start of the NFL season. Got to get you ready for any late fantasy drafts, for any gambling decisions you need to make, and, of course, for the Cowboys and Buccaneers kicking it off. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right. When we last saw you on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we were debating something that I teased for this segment. If I could remember what it was, I'd be in great shape. Does anyone recall the debate that we had at the end of the last, going into the last commercial break?
Justin Herbert.
The most, what's that?
We were talking about Justin Herbert,
the most skilled quarterbacks. Right. Justin Herbert, to me, this past season, guys, had a rookie year unlike any since Dan Marino, even if you adjust for the era. I would say that's the reason, Keyshawn, that I would put him in the top five by the end of this year, maybe even the top three, and say he's differently talented than everyone else.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent. And coming out of school, I've had the opportunity to see him play live in person. Probably, I don't know, I've probably seen him play a little bit over a handful of times up close in person. I had an opportunity to see him play against Arizona State and Herm Edwards in the desert. Went down, watched him from the sideline, wanted to see what he was all about, and walked away, saw him play against USC, and walked away saying he's the top quarterback in college football. I don't give a damn what the hype machine is telling me about Joe Burrow or Tua or any of the other guys that came out with him. I know what I saw with my eyes, and my eyes told me that he was going to be a quarterback in this league that was going to have success for a very long time. Unfortunate for Tyrod Taylor, the starter last year, he thought he was going to be the starter, and then had a little medical mishap. And a little bit. And so he had to give way to Justin Herbert, and since then he's moved on to become the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. So, you know, when you look at it, Justin Herbert has – all the ability in the world. There's no question about it. I just you got to take these things in baby steps. I think he will continue to elevate his game because I've never seen quarterbacks start off hot like that and then fall off a cliff.
Oh, I think your last comment, Key, really fits here for this conversation about where Justin Herbert can be, baby steps, right? Because I, you know, just as one season doesn't define Carson Wentz, neither does a hot season define Justin Herbert to me. And one of the things I've seen, and it might be different in the NFL from the quarterback position, but I know about this in professional sports, you know, that first year in a pandemic when a lot of different things are going on, and I'm not saying that teams aren't doing their homework, but there's not a large sample size, a large body of work for a team to really dig into on how they scout you, how they prepare for you.
And he's going to have to make the adjustment to the adjustments.
And that's what I want to see this
but
year.
This
can
is what
he
I,
do that at that same
what
clip?
What I asked you before the break was we can talk about sample sizes. We can talk about Key's analytics that he loves to get into. I mean as former high-level athletes. The athlete eyeball test when you put your eyeballs on Justin Herbert.
He's special.
Key, let me ask you. Do you know what I mean when I say there's Mahomes and Rodgers and then everybody else? And that Herbert could be third in that group, or at least I see him, if he's not in that group, then he's the leader of the pack of the rest, or you just don't see that. You see, qualitatively, when you look at Herbert, you don't see something different than even like Josh Allen or someone.
Well, I look at when you start talking about making all the throws and doing some of the things, you can go right up to the Pacific Northwest and look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson doesn't have the ideal size as those other guys. Well, Patrick Mahomes is not that tall, but he doesn't have that
big, strong guy,
6'2", you know, 6'3", or 6'6", like Justin Herbert. But he can make all the throws, probably the best deep ball thrower in the National Football League. So I don't look at it based on those sort of things the same way you do. I look at it, like you said, with my eyes, and I can tell you, I hate to say it, I can tell you whether a dude can play or not. I'm an instant evaluator. Yes, I am. I can look at a dude getting off the bus and tell you if we put him on the bus just for show, to be a show pony, or if he really is going to be a baller.
Now, by the way, I hear that. You know, Marcellus Wiley, you used to do Max and Marcellus.
I don't even know who that is. Where's he at?
ESPN, 7:10 a.m.
What
LA.
Network is he on now?
The point is, I asked him once what Bill Parcells, guy you played for, Key, what was his best attribute as a coach? And he said he can go out and watch guys warming up and just blink, like look at them for a second. Watch them for 10, 20, 30 seconds and tell you everything they can and be accurate about what they can do, what they can't do. Somehow he could size guys up. So when Key, someone who's very, very experienced at a high level, like you, Key, says, yeah, I can size them up. I think there is something to that. That's why I'm asking, though. When you look at Herbert, you say, I don't even look at him like that. But when you do, you don't know what I'm talking about when I say he's differently talented?
He is, but it's hard right now today to gauge against two guys that got three MVPs and two Super Bowls and three Super Bowl appearances and a host of other accolades to measure him against in 16 weeks. He's certainly headed in the right direction, but you wouldn't be saying these sorts. See, here's what's so funny about sports. We wouldn't even be sitting here having these type of crazy conversations all the time about Patrick Mahomes winning six championships in the next 2 years and all of the weird stuff that go on, right? He can do it. All Jimmy Garoppolo had to do was hit Emmanuel Sanders, and we would be sitting there going, damn.
Can't win the big one. Mahomes can't win the big one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not wrong. I mean, that's the way it works. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Look like $1 million with Dollar Shave Club. Upgrade to a DSC six-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave. Thanks to their six precision-cut stainless steel blades, find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in stores and online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com.
You better visit it, Max.
Wait, you don't like what I do? See,
the scruff is working. It's working. It looks right. You're fine.
I got a little bit of a double chin, so I do it. I shave down here. It creates the illusion of a jawline. We're asking you at Key, Jay, and Max on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, which one of these three teams is most likely to win the Super Bowl, Chiefs, Bucks, or Bills? 55% of you have said the Chiefs, 29% said the defending champion Bucks, and 16% said the Bills. We want to hear from you. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's after Key has this from Granger.
As a fan, this is amazing.
This is the time
of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready.
This is Stanford Steve, and I'm ready.
This is the Bear, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I believe the Cleveland Browns are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC.
Touchdown, Odell Beckham.
I am so bullish on the Kansas City Chiefs. We should be wondering if this team can go undefeated this year.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. Here's the question, guys. Will it be a disappointment for the Chiefs? Look, Key just brought it up. Shanahan designed the play. Emmanuel Sanders is open. Jimmy G just missed him. If Jimmy G hits him, we're sitting here going, is he going to be like Marino, right? Can Mahomes ever win the big one and get over the hump? But instead, it feels like they win the Super Bowl every year because, you know, if not for a pre-snap penalty, they probably win the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Rams. Then they win the Super Bowl. And then if not for their offensive line, clearly there were extenuating circumstances in the Super Bowl last year. So Andy Reid,
a lot of ifs.
Yeah, there are, but they're in the mix every year. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are now a version of what Brady and Belichick were in the sense that everyone anticipates they're going to be there every year, right? Would it be a disappointment if they don't make it back to the Super Bowl, Jay?
Yes. For a team that's been to back-to-back Super Bowls, yes, it would be. It's either Super Bowl or bust, and I hate using the bust word, but when expectations are excellence each and every year with the talent that they have, when you have a guy who is a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, and MVP, back-to-back Super Bowl opportunities for Patrick Mahomes, that's without even the question with the talent that they have.
Key, Max. Disappointment if they don't get all the way back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it would be a bit of a disappointment based on what you just laid out, Max, right? You laid out if it wasn't for a toe, then they go to the Super Bowl, whether they win or not against the Rams.
Right.
Then they go and they win, and then they lose against the Bucs. So essentially, let's just say they would have gone to three straight Super Bowls. So it's like watching the Chicago Bulls or even the New England Patriots. It's like, oh, or the Dynasty Lakers, they're going to the Super Bowl. Or the Yankees, they're going to the World Series. And then it doesn't happen. You're like, well, wait a minute, man. We did all this for nothing. And that's the way the Kansas City Chiefs will be viewed this year if they don't make it back to the Super Bowl, win or lose.
I want to go back to what you said, though, because I think it's right about Jimmy G. Like, if he hits that pass, then all of a sudden we're looking at Mahomes differently. You know, the Buffalo Bills went four straight years, and Jim Kelly can't get over the hump and everything. So, but there's some – Mahomes' talent is so eye-popping. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's like, oh, I don't know if I've seen that, but only Rodgers has done stuff
course.
Like that.
He does some Houdini-like things.
He does. He's like Houdini. Like even this last Super Bowl, the plays I'll remember are from the losing quarterback who put up bad numbers because he did superhuman things. And then you look at the start of his career. You mentioned it, Jay. MVP. Super Bowl MVP. Right, he has all this, but he's one play away, and it wasn't his play, it was the other dude who didn't hit it, from being a guy who maybe can't get over the hump. Are we expecting too much from this team, from Mahomes and the Chiefs? We're expecting them to be there every single year.
Don't you think they expect to be there every single year?
A lot of teams do.
No, but not the same clip that Kansas City would be. I mean, if you're Kansas City, if you're Patrick Mahomes every single year, that's why you're considered to be, people have compared, I'll say it again, Key. It happened last year. It's the first time I heard it. Jeff Darlington came on our show and said, Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be the Jordan of the NFL.
Yeah, I've been saying that. Yeah.
Like that's, you're saying, that's high expectations. That's every single year you're competing for a championship. So they have the same
but
set
Key,
of expectations.
Key, you know why Jordan is an interesting comparison to me? Because like Tom Brady's the GOAT. That doesn't make you MJ. MJ is the guy who was obviously physically better than everybody and then also put up the best numbers by far and then also won all the time. Like Brady wasn't obviously eye test better than everybody, right? Didn't always put up the best numbers, but he won all the time. You had other guys like Dan Marino who was like, oh my God, that guy's just better than that, but didn't win all the time, right? Put up the numbers, was eye test, but Mahomes has a chance to be everything. Could he be the Jordan of the NFL, Key?
See, it's hard for me to mention Jordan and Patrick Mahomes because Jordan did so much for the game, and it's just different. It's hard for me to do that because I don't just look at Jordan as a basketball player. I look at him as iconic, ridiculous, like once-in-a-lifetime type individual. So it's hard. I think Patrick Mahomes is, based on the sport that he plays, is in his own separate type category, and his physical tools certainly displays that. Now, again, if you go back and you look at that throw to Emmanuel Sanders, we would be talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Almost like we talk about Aaron Rodgers right now. Aaron Rodgers won the one Super Bowl, but he hadn't been back. He puts up a lot of yards. He gets the MVPs. So it's a lot of pressure on him to finish the deal because clearly he has the ability to do that. But then again, he'll be in the same breath as Brett Favre. He wants to separate himself from that.
Key,
so
one thing
Mahomes
about what you're saying.
Another one to be separated from all the other guys.
One thing about what you're saying about Jimmy G, though, is in that same Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes did call his own number, take like a 15-step drop and throw a 60-yard pass. Like, I think he also did something in the affirmative that was like, uh-oh, not like that. That was a gutsy play and a big, big-time throw at a huge moment. I think if you took that away, now you're really looking at, okay, there was some luck involved. But once you add that play, it elevates what Mahomes did, I think.
Well, anytime you can go to three straight championships and go to the Super Bowl twice, you got a lot of talent. Like, he's ridiculously good. I just want to see him win a couple more championships before
we start
the greatest of all time.
All right. So,
all right.
Yeah. You can project. It's okay to project.
Like a little hyperbole in my
sports. Absolutely, it's okay.
I don't want Key driving all the hyperbolic statements out of sports. Greeny next on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.